Our Heavenly Father, we come before you with gratitude as we recognize your deep love for us, for your care towards each one of us, the help you've rendered in our lives over many years, in many situations where we are not even conscious of your grace reaching out to us. We thank you for helping us to appreciate your goodness, your love, and also to learn how to respond to you, to benefit from your grace. We ask that you continue to watch over us, speak to us and teach us, that we may understand your ways and live according to your will. Help us as we ponder over the subject of true worth in life, that we may appreciate in a deeper way all that we desire for our lives and what is true meaning and value that will last for eternity. We look to you that you will teach us, help us to learn from you, and to respond well. For this we pray and thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord willing, I'll be considering with you a series of messages on the topic of true worth. I'll be concentrating on what is true worth in this series of messages to help us ponder over what is true value in life. And for today, we will consider, what am I worth? In life, many of us are constantly affected by how other people think of us and how we regard ourselves. The term self-esteem has been used in many situations to refer to how we regard ourselves and in relation to how other people regard us. And if we think through our own lives and observe the lives of others, we recognize that this is an issue that affects us very, very deeply. Self-esteem basically refers to a good opinion of oneself when it's used in a positive way. When it's used in a context where we refer to low self-esteem, we refer to a condition where we view ourselves poorly and are distressed and insecure. The word esteem basically means an estimation of worth, or from its original meaning, to fix a price for. So it refers to how we regard ourselves, how we regard other people, how we esteem what something is worth. How do you regard yourself? In many situations or many years of life, there must be many occasions where you reflect upon yourself, and there are certain impressions, feelings, and thoughts that come to you. Are you proud of yourself? Do you regard yourself highly? Do you think others should be like you? There are many who regard themselves very highly. They are capable, they have power, they can impress others, and they think they have achieved much in their lives. On the other hand, others may not be in this category. Are you uncomfortable and embarrassed with yourself? Do you dislike yourself? Do you find it difficult to face life thinking of all your deficiencies, all your weaknesses, all your failures, how other people view you, look at you, and you are very uncomfortable, embarrassed? Do you wish that you were someone else? Someone that you admire, someone whom you think is in a position where people would appreciate? Or are you at ease with yourself? Are you peaceful about yourself, how you've developed so far, and you're glad to be who you are and what you are? In reality, many of us may not always be proud, neither always uncomfortable, nor always at ease. There are moments when we have done something which we think is good, important, valuable, and we may regard ourselves rather highly. At other times, we may have faltered, we may have failed, when others may have said things about us that are not favorable, and we may dislike ourselves and become depressed. At other times, we are quite peaceful, we are happy to be who we are. From early childhood until old age, we are often very deeply conscious with regard to various aspects of our lives, including, in particular, our appearance, our abilities, and our achievements. This consciousness of our own lives is usually very much related to our concern as to how others regard us in these areas. We want others to think well of us, and many of our choices and the way we behave are very much affected by the desire to be accepted and appreciated. This principle is important for us to recognize because it affects our lives very deeply, and we need to understand how we should respond to these influences in our lives. While we may have some concern for what is good and meaningful, we bear this in mind and we want to do something that's of value, yet we may find that many a time we may be even more concerned with the image that others have of us. And this may very often determine the choices that we make. Even at times when we know that the choice that we are making is not good, we are uneasy in our hearts. We recognize that God will not approve, yet we seem compelled to choose that path because of fear of what others would say, how they would view us. So our perception of ourselves is often deeply affected by how we think others perceive us. In reality, whether they perceive us this way or not may not always be the same as what we think, but our perception of what they think of us very much affects the way we live our lives and how we choose. It's good, therefore, for us to consider what is true worth. Our concern about what other people think of us is very much related to our understanding, our perception, our thinking of what is of true worth. It has to do with our concern about what we are worth. How much am I worth? We could therefore consider how is our self-esteem affected by the comments and conduct of others towards us. What they say, what they do, how they treat us. Is our self-esteem very easily affected by the comments and conduct of others? Do we feel hurt by what others say or what they do toward us, how they regard us? When negative comments are made about us, do we feel very hurt? Are we happy with their comments when they praise us, when they speak well of us? Are we very happy because we are highly regarded? Or are we unconcerned? We are not bothered with what others think and what others say. Maybe we think that means that we are free from the opinions of men. But in reality, many of us who think that we are not concerned about what others say are very deeply concerned. we dare not face it. We don't want to face it. And so we don't bother and we don't think about it. But deep in us, we are troubled and we are affected and we live our lives with a desire to gain acceptance by others. All of us go through various of these situations and turmoil within us, and we need to know what we are worth. Can we come to a better understanding of what we are worth, an accurate perception of ourselves that can help us to know how to live our lives well and to be free? The way we are affected can arise in many, many situations of life. Almost every day, we are confronted with events, circumstances, situations that can affect us very deeply in these areas and can affect the choices that we make, the way we live and respond. Let's look at a passage in the scriptures to ponder over this subject. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verses 1 to 8. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verses 1 to 8. Now there was a certain man from Ramathaim Zophim, from the hill country of Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jeroham, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zuf, an Ephraimite. And he had two wives. The name of one was Hannah, and the name of the other Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. Now this man would go up from his city yearly to worship and to sacrifice to the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were priests to the Lord there. And when the day came that Elkanah sacrificed, he would give portions to Peninnah his wife and to all her sons and her daughters. But to Hannah he would give a double portion, for he loved Hannah, but the Lord had closed her womb. Her rival, however, would provoke her bitterly to irritate her, because the Lord had closed her womb. And it happened year after year, as often as she went up to the house of the Lord, she would provoke her, so she wept and would not eat. Then Elkanah, her husband, said to her, "Hannah, why do you weep, and why do you not eat? And why is your heart sad? Am I not better to you than 10 sons? This is a passage that describes a woman very distressed because of the words and conduct of another person. As far as the way the scriptures present, Hannah seems to be a reasonably positive person. But in this situation, we see that Hannah was very deeply distressed. She was very deeply affected by the words and conduct of Peninnah. Why? In the context, we see that her great distress was, in this situation, basically related to her being barren. She was childless. And we are told that Peninnah would provoke her bitterly to irritate her because the Lord had closed her womb. And so she wept and would not eat. Her husband asked her, "Why is your heart sad? Am I not better to you than 10 sons? Hannah could not be comforted by the words of Elkanah, and we see that in her distress, Hannah prayed to God. And we are told, Hannah came before God and beseeched God for a son. Being deeply affected by how she was viewed and treated, she prayed to God and she made a vow to God that if God would look at her affliction and would help her and give her a son, then she would give him to the Lord all the days of his life. She would dedicate her son to the Lord, to serve God all the days of his life, if God would answer her prayer. So we see that this was the source of her distress. She had no children. Her self-esteem was affected because she had no children. Likely, it affected her sense of worth as a woman. A woman without children may give the impression that she was not fulfilling her role, she was not what she ought to be. She was not worthy as a woman. And so, we read on in 1 Samuel chapter 1, verses 12 to 18. Now it came about, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli was watching her mouth. As for Hannah, she was speaking in her heart, only her lips were moving, but her voice was not heard. So Eli thought she was drunk. Then Eli said to her, "How long will you make yourself drunk? Put away your wine from you." But Hannah answered and said, "No, my lord, I am a woman oppressed in spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but I poured out my soul before the Lord. Do not consider your maidservant as a worthless woman, for I have spoken until now out of my great concern and provocation." Then Eli answered and said, "Go in peace, and may the God of Israel grant your petition that you have asked of him." And she said, "Let your maidservant find favor in your sight." So the woman went her way and ate, and her face was no longer sad. When Hannah was praying, Eli mistook that she was drunk. Hannah responded, "No, I'm a woman oppressed in spirit." She was not drunk, but she was very oppressed. She was very deeply affected by the conduct of Peninnah and by the sense of her not being what she ought to be. When Eli made the remark, she said, "Do not consider your maidservant as a worthless woman." Not only Peninnah thought badly of her, but Eli also had the wrong impression of her. And she was distressed by this as well. "Do not consider your maidservant as a worthless woman." Her sense of worth was affected by the way the others responded to her, and she asked Eli not to view her in that way. She explained, "I've spoken until now out of my great concern and provocation." She asked the Lord for a son, and she explained the situation to Eli. And when he understood, he said, "Go in peace, and may the God of Israel grant your petition that you have asked of him." And she said, "Let your maidservant find favor in your sight." With these words, we find that Hannah was now peaceful. She went away and ate, and her face was no longer sad. What caused the change? Why was she so distressed? And why was she now no longer sad? From the context, we see that she prayed to the Lord, and Eli had responded favorably and assured her or encouraged her that God may grant her petition. She was no longer sad because Eli spoke favorably to her, and she was looking forward to God answering her prayer. As a result of this incident, Samuel was born. He was dedicated to God, and Samuel became a significant prophet for God. In this situation, we are specifically told that God closed the womb of Hannah. So it was something deliberate, in the sense that God in His sovereignty worked in that situation so that Hannah would be barren. Hannah responded to the situation in great distress, and in her distress, she drew near to God. Although being affected by people's comments can be very distressing, and we need not be so distressed in this form, very often it is in situations like that we may be more conscious of our need of God. We are more conscious of coming to Him and seeking His help. And when God does help us, if our hearts are positive, we may actually grow stronger in our faith and develop quality in our lives. However, it may not always work this way. The comments of others may hurt us, may affect us deeply. We may become very depressed, and we may not be able to find a solution. So how do we respond to these kinds of situations? How should we view the many aspects of our lives? How to respond in a way where we can find true freedom and meaning?